from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker conducted his State of the State speech last week, his last one before voters decide later this year if he should get a third term in office. The address did feature some intriguing policy proposals, including taxing social media companies and trying to cultivate more housing in the land of Lincoln. But a lot of the Democratic chief executive speech focused on national politics, particularly his adversarial relationship with President Donald Trump. His speech honed in on how Trump is affecting Illinois' financial future and placing America at a crossroads.
Right now, in this country, we are not fighting over policy or political party. We are fighting over whether we are going to be a civilization rooted in empathy and kindness, or one rooted in cruelty and rage.
Joining us now to break down the potential presidential contender speech is Will Bauer, who covers the Metro East for St. Louis Public Radio. Will, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Let's start with policy. What were the most notable things that Pritzker wants to do as he heads to his reelection bid?
There were a lot of things. So there was the new fear tax on social media companies that you mentioned, which is the biggest driver of state revenue in this budget. There's also banning junk fees. These are fees that would get tacked on to your WWE tickets, right? They would have to display the cost up front when you go to buy them instead of getting charged an extra $6 for your $13 ticket.
That's good to know if I ever want to go to a pay-per-view at the Allstate Arena in suburban Chicago.
Well, now you'll know if it gets passed by state lawmakers, of course. Other thing is a statewide zoning law to spur housing developments, an executive order to speed up nuclear energy plants or the production of nuclear energy, and a ban on cell phones in schools, which was talked about last year during the budget address but didn't get across the finish line in the legislature.
The zoning part kind of fascinated me because, especially in Missouri, we don't really have statewide housing or zoning initiatives. That's often done at a county or municipal level. How exactly is he going to get that done, given that I'm sure there are similar smaller governments in play in Illinois?
Yeah, no, and from my understanding, you're exactly right. And actually, the Illinois Municipal League, which would be the lobbying group on behalf of villages, cities, and towns, had said yesterday that this has always been something that has been decided locally, and they believe that it should stay in local control. So there will be some opposition, but the whole idea here is that they will basically limit local government's ability to limit what's built in residential zones. And the idea is it's been really hard to spur housing development, right? It's not just Illinois that needs affordable housing. There was actually a University of Illinois study done last year. The state is short 142,000 units. And so the idea here is you're cutting back the red tape, maybe at the local level, in some instances that's prevented more affordable housing from being built.
I'm trying to think what that would mean in practice. Would that mean you would have subdivisions or neighborhoods with more houses in them? Would houses be closer together? Like, what would this mean for everyday people if this is actually implemented?
Yeah, so the idea here is that and it's all based on the size of a lot. So if there's less than 2,500 square feet, it would be zoned for a single unit. If it's 25 to 5,000, you could be four units and so on. Because there has been certain instances where in a local zoning, those lots would have only been zoned for single houses. Whereas if I wanted to come in and build a fourplex or something like that, I couldn't do it. So the idea here is they're unifying it across the state. But yeah, definitely going to face some pushback from people who believe in local control.
The other thing that caught my attention, as I mentioned in the intro, was how Pritzker wants to implement a tax on social media companies. How exactly is that going to work?
Yeah, so it's based on per population or per the amount of users, I should say. So companies, they pay 10 cents for every person that's using that social media platform every month. And for bigger ones, ones with more than 1 million users, and stay with me here because this gets a little confusing, they would be taxed, the social media company would be taxed $165,000 each month. And then everything over 1 million, they would pay an additional 50 cents per user. And the idea here is that, from Pritzker, that social media has done a lot of damage, especially on kids, and social media companies should play some kind of role in helping fund K-12 education.
So I'm of two minds here. One is that social media companies, or just tech companies like Google and Meta, have spent billions of dollars recently on things like data centers, or in Meta's case, they spent billions of dollars on the failed metaverse where we were all going to be in VR headsets and talking to Mark Zuckerberg, and like four people use that now. So I kind of could see this as a popular idea, but I could also see these companies being like, you tax us, we are going to shut down in Illinois, similar to how Pornhub shut down in Missouri after Attorney General Catherine Hanaway put a lot of regulations on it. So what do you think the reaction of these benevolent social media companies will be to this?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a real possibility. And from my understanding, I don't know if this has been done anywhere else, and I'm not a lawyer, but I would imagine this could be something, just because it's brand new, that if the state lawmaker, the state general assembly does actually pass it, it could garner a legal challenge. But yeah, that's definitely a possibility, because in terms of, you know, just shutting down Facebook, for example, in Illinois, clearly the porn websites can do that for Missouri, so why wouldn't they be able to do it for Illinois?
So from a budgetary standpoint, Pritzker doesn't seem to be proposing any major spending initiatives, but is he proposing any significant cuts to state services?
There's nothing gigantic. So it's a $56 billion budget. It's a 1.6% increase from last year. But if you throw out spending for education and pensions, which is by far the biggest amount of new spending, it actually only grows half a percentage point. So it's maybe a little bit more conservative than what the prior budgets have looked like from year to year, but yeah, not much.
In one instance where Pritzker's mention of Trump corresponded with state politics, the governor contended that the federal government was withholding billions of dollars from Illinois, and that's something Pritzker said is having a real impact on state government being able to function.
$8.4 billion. $8.4 billion. That is how much the Trump administration has cost the people of Illinois. Alongside many other states, Illinois is fighting more than 50 cases in court where the federal government is illegally confiscating money that has already been promised and appropriated by the Congress to the people of Illinois.
That was Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker at last week's State of the State speech and budgetary address. And I should just add, it seems like there was some rubbing on the microphone that was happening, since I got that from a feed. So I want to make that clear to our listeners. That is what it sounded like.
Yeah, that was the governor's jacket and tie. And it was, unfortunately, the microphone was just pointed a little too far back and someone moved it for him later in the speech.
What do you make of that part of the speech?
Yeah, so he's saying the $8.4 billion that has been kind of in a bunch of legal fights and been rescinded by the Trump administration is going to have big ramifications for their budget. And if you've followed news out of Illinois, and you could have missed all these because there's just been so many, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul has been like suing the Trump administration. It feels like every other week, right? They're still waiting for a decision on $1 billion in child care funding that was frozen, and it's still tied up. And of course, Pritzker has been an ardent critic of President Trump, one of the most ardent critics, and he's widely speculated as someone who will run for president. So I think there's a lot of belief that he's just going to continue to pick fights with the administration. But I think it's also important to point out that this year, Pritzker's critique of Trump maybe wasn't as strong as last year's was.
And from listening to some of the audio that you graciously sent me of Illinois Republicans, that was kind of their reaction too. It was not as, I guess, adversarial as I was expecting. But I can't imagine that they were like, yeah, we definitely agree with this Democratic governor who is proposing things that we just fundamentally disagree with. Is that a fair assessment? Explain what they said, basically.
Yeah, no, I think that's spot on. So the local delegation from the Metro East and Quincy, they feel like it was maybe better than last year, but they still aren't super impressed. So they've been talking about affordability, they say, for a long time. So they can kind of get on board with the sentiment that they need to make the everyday cost of life more affordable, but they feel like we've been talking about this, it's a little too late. And of course, they're also hoping for a more conservative budget. So given that there are increases in this budget, they're not a fan of that.
Here's Representative Amy Ehlich of Godfrey providing her take of Pritzker's speech.
So I think the speech itself was a little bit less angry and vitriolic than it has been in the past, so I appreciated that. But it was short on details about the budget itself. The budget is, again, a record budget. It adds spending, not a lot, but it does add spending. And so now it's time to go through the details and figure out what got cut, what got added. And then ultimately, though, it is the House and Senate Democrats who will go behind closed doors and make a lot of decisions, including adding a lot of their own pet projects into it. So we will probably see that number grow.
That was Republican State Representative Amy Ehlich of Godfrey giving her reaction to Pritzker's speech. So, Will, given that Republicans are not expected to perform strongly nationally this year, would you say that Illinois state legislators are kind of demoralized that they're in this position where they have, like, no power and they're probably not going to obtain any power anytime soon?
Yeah, so I think the key here will be for them, if they actually do want to make any meaningful changes, will be peeling off enough moderate Democrats so that the budget wouldn't pass, because they would obviously be peeling away enough Democrats to make that happen. But Jill Tracy of Quincy, Senator Jill Tracy of Quincy, Republicans, seemed upbeat about their ability on the Senate side to influence negotiations. But of course, Amy Ehlich of Godfrey had said yesterday that, and she's involved in the House negotiations on the budget, or lack thereof, for Republicans, and they're expecting that they won't continue to be involved in those negotiations, and they're kind of just going to have to deal with it whenever the Democrats present their side of it.
And of course, unlike the Missouri Senate, where Democrats have a strong filibuster and can actually affect the trajectory of legislation, there's no such thing in the Illinois Senate. In fact, when we interviewed Senator Chris Belt a few months ago, and we asked him about whether Republicans have any ability to filibuster meaningfully, I think he looked at us like we had six heads, because that sort of thing just doesn't exist in Illinois.
Yeah. If all the Democrats are on board, they can get done what they want to get done.
Let's just be blunt here. One of the reasons why Pritzker is heavily, heavily, heavily favored for reelection is the backlash that came from Trump's immigration enforcement efforts in Chicago. And he alluded to that late in his speech.
Illinois was the canary in the coal mine for what we saw happen in Minnesota. It's a playbook as old as the game. Overwhelm communities, provoke fear, suggest that those tasked with enforcing the law are also above it, and drip authoritarianism bit by bit into our veins in the hopes that we won't notice we're being poisoned by it. The problem for Donald Trump and Stephen Miller was that Illinoisans did notice.
That was Democratic Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker at his State of the State and budgetary address. There's a couple of reasons why I kind of made that statement before the clip, that what Trump has done in Illinois is probably going to guarantee Pritzker's reelection. First of all, Republicans statewide are a mess, and they haven't won a statewide office in, what, since 2018, 2014? It's been a long time.
It's been basically a long time.
But number two, Illinois has a large Latino community, and a lot of those Latino voters vote. And I've looked at polling, like Trump's approval ratings with Latino and Hispanic voters have fallen off a cliff. And given that Illinois already is a Democratic stronghold, I don't think there's really any suspense in any of these statewide elections. I think Democrats are going to win every single one. Am I right to be this arrogant about the results, or do you think that there's a reason why Democrats should be confident going into this election cycle?
I think there's a lot of reasons to believe that. Illinois is what it is. It's a really tough environment for Republicans to win. And Republicans nationally had made as much progress as they ever had in the 2024 elections with the Latino population. And yeah, I think a lot of people are of the belief that that has probably gone away with all the immigration and enforcement things that have gone on in the last year. But as you'd expect yesterday, the response was pretty much down the party lines when Pritzker started talking about that. There is a lot of talk in Republican circles about wanting to get rid of Illinois' sanctuary state status that would have been signed into law in 2017 by Governor Bruce Rauner. And the idea here is that if you would let ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, into local jails, they could be getting people who are accused of really heinous crimes out from the get-go versus needing to do the opposite, like what would have happened in Chicago with mass enforcements and going door-to-door in neighborhoods and things like that.
But and you mentioned that was a law that was signed into law by Bruce Rauner,
yes,
right?
Yes, the Trust Act.
And that's just sort of like my other reasoning about why Republicans are going to be so behind the eight ball in Illinois. Like, Bruce Rauner, for all of his faults, and he had many, was a pretty liberal Republican on abortion and immigration policy. And I just don't see anybody in the governor's race who has that same profile that's going to appeal to independent or moderate voters. They just seem like very right wing for a state that is not right wing.
And that's the tough formula to nail, is that in a really Democratic state like Illinois, if you want to win a statewide contest as a Republican, you're going to need to negotiate with Democrats. You're going to need to be moderate on some things like that. But in order to win a GOP primary, you're going to tick off the base doing that, and that could potentially cost you the primary race. So it's a really, really narrow needle to thread.
Will Bauer is St. Louis Public Radio's Metro East reporter and covered Governor Pritzker's State of the State and budgetary address, along with STLPR's visuals editor, Brian Munoz. Will, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
This episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum, recorded and edited by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.